This afternoon we want to continue our study through the book of John. And so if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to John's Gospel. And this afternoon we're continuing in chapter 8, where Jesus is being confronted. And this is an interesting interesting confrontation and dialogue that he has in this chapter, because there's really, he's discussing with two different groups of people, and you'd think that these people would be arriving at totally different positions in how they're receiving Jesus. But the amazing thing is, when we get to the end of the chapter, we're going to see that they're not that much different. On the one hand, you have all of the masses that have gathered together to hear his teaching. Jesus is back in Jerusalem for the festivals, and he is there, and as he's in Jerusalem, he's teaching at the temple. And we saw last Wednesday night and Sunday afternoon that Jesus was teaching at the temple, and the people were gathered around, and they stood amazed at his teaching. Not only that, the Pharisees became very upset with him, and you remember that they sent the temple guard to arrest him and to take him away, and the temple guard couldn't do anything because they stood there and were amazed at his teaching as well. And when asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees why he had not arrested, they had not done what they had told them to do and arrest Jesus, he said, well, this man has spoken, you know, he speaks so powerfully like no other man. And they became upset with him. Well, Jesus goes on, and one of the things that is making the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes so upset is that Jesus is constantly referring to himself as God. Now, he doesn't come out and say the words, I am God, but what he does is he says, my Father has sent me, I have come from my Father, I will return to my Father, I do the will of the Father, and then he uses words that equate himself with the Father, saying he and the Father are one, he and the Father think the same, and so they know exactly what he's saying. He is saying that he is God. Now, why should they be getting so upset? Well, they shouldn't be, because the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would come, that the Father would send him. They also told the means, the manner, the place, the time. They told it all, and yet they ignore the prophets, and we're going to see in just a moment that they say they don't, but they do. So let's get into the text this afternoon. And let's begin at verse 48. And Jesus is continuing to, and when it says he answered the Jews, whenever you see that he speaks to the Jews, he's speaking of the Jewish leadership. When he speaks to the people, it's referred to as the people, but the Jews are the Jewish leadership. And they are those that stand totally against Jesus because he's a threat to their sinful lifestyles, because they have declared themselves to be above the law and that they can act as God and establish the law. And they are the ones that can determine who is righteous and who is not righteous. That isn't left to God. That's left to them. And we see that it's the same as many people today. They have the same attitude. They want to act as God. They want to determine what is right and wrong. They want to determine who is good and evil. And instead of looking at God's word and making that the standard, and looking to God and making him the foundation of their decisions, they reject all of that and base it upon their own thoughts. Well, this is where we're at. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, this is the Jews. And he says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, I want you to just pause here, and I want you to understand what has been said. Further up, Jesus had said in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This is the dialogue where Jesus is saying where he came from, what his purpose in coming was. And then he tells them, who their father is. And he says in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And so he's saying, I'm of my father, and you're of your father, and you can't hear my words because I come from my father, but your father is Satan. My father is God. I come from the Father. I come with the words of the Father. I come with words that are holy, righteous, and true. You come from your father, who's a liar and murderer. And as you can see, he's laying out where the foundation of their life is and what his purpose in coming is. They cannot receive him unless they reject their father. Unless they reject Satan and his ways, they will never hear Jesus. He was a murderer from the beginning in the end of verse 44 and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. We talked about that this morning. The people that would say all truth is God's truth, no, it's not. There's only one truth. And the truth is in God and his word. And if it doesn't align with God and his word, it's not true. Then it's of Satan. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Because he's telling him, what truth is he telling him? Their father is Satan. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And I'm telling you the truth. Now, why does Jesus know this? Well, you could say, well, experientially, he's seen it in the world. He's seen the Romans are following Satan and his false religious systems. The Romans are having all this wickedness in their culture. So he'd be able to determine that Satan is the father of all of that. He also could look at these people and say, yeah, they're hypocrites. They don't want to follow God. But he's got even more evidence than that because he has been in heaven. He is the one who created all things. And guess who he created as part of his creation? He created all the angels. He created Satan. And guess what? Jesus was there and saw Satan at the moment that his rebellion occurred. He saw when he lied to all the angels and deceived a third of them that they chose to go with him instead of remain in loyalty to the Lord. And he saw what resulted. His judgment would have to come on them all. And so he was a murderer. And when he came and deceived Eve, and when Adam willfully chose to sin, he became a murderer of men, and he became a deceiver of men. And so that is who Satan is. They should not be upset with what Jesus is saying. Just like people shouldn't be upset when you point out all the hypocrisy and lies and wickedness in the world. Yet people get upset. Why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. And things have not changed from the time of Jesus. And Jesus spoke with much more authority than any one of us could speak because he not only spoke because he was the Word of God who spoke with the Word as no other man could because he was the author of the Word, but he spoke experientially because he was there when everything was created. He was there at the fall of Satan. He was there at the fall of man. He had seen it all happen. And so he spoke with tremendous authority. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? So he's saying, you're saying that I'm a sinner. You're saying that I deserve to be put to death. And he's said that more than once because they tried to put him to death more than once. But why have they tried to put him to death? He's saying, well, if I'm a sinner, you would have the right to put me to death, but what have I done that's sin? I haven't done anything except I have spoken the truth. Does the truth result in people being put to death? The Apostle Paul, when he gives the examples in the book of Galatians between which lifestyle a believer should live, he gives the characteristics of the world, and it's all things that you should be judged for. All the wicked things are given in the first portion of chapter 5 of Galatians. Then he gives the characteristics of the Spirit. And all of those are things that no man would be judged for. No man would be put to death for. No man would be tried for if the court was not a kangaroo court and a court that was filled, orchestrated by Satan, like this court that is trying to put Jesus to death and slander his name. But he says the characteristics, why? Because those are the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the Father, and the Son has given them to us as people, the marks of our life, and consequently no man will be tried for those. And yet these people are trying to do that to Jesus, the truth. They're trying to silence him because of the truth. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, that is a pretty straightforward statement. And if you have people that you're trying to share the gospel with and they want nothing to do with it, why don't they want anything to do with it? Well, they're not of God. I shared with you before a time when I was witnessing to a young man, and he wanted nothing to do with it. And there were two other young people with him, and they were trying to listen to what I was saying, and he says, you don't want to listen to him. Let's go. And he got very angry with me, and he says, you keep doing this, and you keep talking to people like this, you're going to have a problem. Why? Who was speaking there? Well, that young man was speaking out of anger because I was pointing out the need of a Savior and to turn from our sin. But really, it was Satan really speaking through him, because Satan didn't want the truth spoken to these other two that were listening, and God was working on their hearts. And we see that you will find people like that today that want nothing to do with the gospel. You begin to talk about Jesus, they get mad. And there shouldn't be any reason to get mad. Maybe you're just having a conversation. You're talking about what's happening in the culture, and you say, well, I know a solution for this. Well, what's the solution? Well, we need to get back to the basics of biblical Christianity and the foundation of turning to the principles of God's Word, and the only way we can do it is to come to God through Jesus. And you start to say something like that, and they are angry in a moment. Why? Because it's not them, it's Satan, and they're speaking the words of their father. So then, after that little interchange between the two went, Jesus, the Jews answered and said unto him, say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? What was that? To call somebody a Jew who was a rabbi, a Samaritan, was the ultimate insult. Okay? First of all, a rabbi was exalted in the position in the eyes of the people because he was a teacher of the law. And so a rabbi, and Jesus was viewed by the people as a rabbi or a teacher. And so for them to call him a Samaritan, he's a half-breed. Now this could have been also a slander on the history of his birth, because I'm sure that there were people that knew that Mary hadn't had a relation with Joseph when Jesus was born. So who was his father? Some Samaritan, some Gentile. And it was a slander, a way that they were slandering Christ. But not only do they slander him there, then they go on and say, thou hast a devil, thou hast a demon. Really? Who was being motivated by Satan? Jesus just got done telling him, you're speaking out of the lies of your father, Satan, the devil. You are the ones that have devils. So they come back, and have you ever had people do that? Where you talk to them about a certain sin, and what do? They accuse you of the very thing that they are doing. That's a great tactic that Satan uses. He tries to accuse people of the sin that his people are doing to get you guilty in silence. It's like, Jesus is going to be quiet now because we called him a Samaritan and he's got a demon. So he won't say anymore. No, then he's going to speak the truth about that as well. And Jesus answered, I have not a devil. Okay? I am not demon-possessed, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Okay? Now, he tells them what it is. If you are demon-possessed, are you honoring God? No, because you're being controlled by a worker of iniquity, a worker of Satan, and you're being possessed by a satanic influence. Jesus says, I don't possess a devil, because look at, who am I honoring? I'm honoring God. He was always pointing the people to worship and look to the Lord. He's calling the people to repentance. He's calling the people and teaching them what it means to become part of the kingdom of God. What are you? The whole Sermon on the Mount, you can go back and read that in Matthew chapter 5. It's all the characteristics of someone who is walking with the Lord, who is part of God's kingdom. And what is our characteristics? All those characteristics that Jesus gives there, we don't have time to look at them this afternoon, but go and read chapter 5 of Matthew where he gives the Sermon on the Mount and look at the characteristics. They are not the characteristics of this world. They're not the characteristics of someone who honors and worships Satan. They are the characteristics of God, and they are those who would honor and seek to serve the Lord. So he says, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Now what he's saying by that is, as you dishonor me, you're dishonoring God. Because I honor my Father, so if you dishonor what I honor, do you get his logic here? Do you follow what he's saying? If I'm honoring God and you dishonor me, you're dishonoring what I'm honoring. And I'm honoring God. So that means you're dishonoring the Father as you dishonor me. Then he goes on and he says, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, he's made a profound statement there. He says, I seek not my own glory. Whose glory is he seeking? Seeking the glory of the Father. And there is one that seeketh and judgeth. And verily, verily. Now, whenever Jesus says verily, verily, it means pay attention. What I'm going to say is extremely important. And all that Jesus says is important, but this is really key. He says, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He has just revealed to them how you're born again. How you're born again. Listen to the Word of God, keep the saying of the Word of God, and the saying of the Word of God is that you trust in Him and look to Him. Forgiveness is found in Him, and you'll walk in obedience to Him. And as we looked at Hebrews this morning, there's a new covenant that was given between God and man, and it was promised to the nation of Israel as well as the whole world, and that new covenant came through the blood of Jesus Christ. It didn't come through the blood of goats, it didn't come through the blood of bulls, it didn't come through the blood of lambs. It came through the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the world. So he says, listen to my words, and you shall not experience death. Well, you look at that and you're saying, well, all the people that were listening to Jesus, including those that were his followers and his disciples, and those that believed him, they physically died. None of them are alive today. You can't go to Israel and find one of these people. So that must not have been true. No, Jesus was not talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. And spiritual death is of much greater significance than physical death. It's appointed unto man once to die. The Bible tells us that. And then comes the judgment. But out of the judgment, we go back in the book of Revelation, you see there's two books. There's two books at the great white throne judgment. There's the book of life, and then there's the book of deeds or works. And we see that those whose names are written in the book of life will have eternal life. How do you get your name written in the book of life? You get your name written in the book of life by listening to the words of Jesus and understand that it's only by Him and through Him that your name can be written there. It's placed there when you trust in Him, seek Him for your forgiveness, and you're born again by the power of the Spirit through the blood of the Lamb and the forgiveness of sins that's found in Him, and your name's written in the book of life. The book of works, or the deeds of men, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, it doesn't matter how much money you had, how little money you had, what horrible job you had, how much of an alcoholic, drug addict, whatever you were. It doesn't matter any of that, how much of a moralist you were. It doesn't matter, because your name isn't covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so your name isn't written in the book of life. Your name is written where you have to stand on your own deeds. And every man is a sinner. David said, I was conceived in sin. David was looking not by the fact that his mother was some type of a harlot that had him out of wedlock. That's not what he means. He's looking much beyond the time that he was conceived. with the relationship between his father and mother. That act of conception was part of what God's plan. But he's looking back all the way to Adam, where it said that sin entered the world through Adam, and by Adam all would be sinners, and no man could come to God because of his sin. The Apostle Paul brings us that whole account in the book of Romans. And so we see here that Jesus is pointing this out, that it's only through him that you will not see death, and that's spiritual death, and ultimately it's physical death, because the resurrection will be a resurrection to life, not to death. Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil." Okay, what are they basing this on? "Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death." Okay? So they're saying, we're going to look at the most righteous men that we know account of, and that's Abraham and the prophets. You can't get any more righteous than those. And guess what? They're all dead. And yet you're saying that if we listen to you, we won't die. And so now we know you have some type of a devil that's saying these things. "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." Okay, again he's going back to his previous argument, where they said that they honored the Lord, and he's saying, "Well, you dishonor me, but I honor God. So that, and through you dishonoring me because I honor God, you're dishonoring God." Now he's coming and saying, basically coming back to that same argument, and he's saying, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing." Okay, and that is really pointing out their problem. What is their problem? Their problem is self, pride, arrogance, haughtiness, and the fact that they deem themselves to be God. They are going to determine who lives and die. They are going to determine who's spiritually righteous and not. And they're not going to look to the truth of God's Word. Why would we do that? And they're not going to call in the name of the Lord. Why would we do that? Because we've got that power in ourselves. Jesus is saying, "I don't honor myself. I don't give myself that authority. God has given me the authority that I have, and I come in His authority, not my own. And I honor Him, not myself. My honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you." I mean, he does not cut corners. A lot of people say, "Well, we really can't talk to people about their sin, and we really can't talk to people about their position with Christ, because that would be offensive to the..." Was Jesus telling these people what their problem was? He didn't cut any corners. He said, "I'm not like you, because you're a liar, and a liar stands judged." So he says here, I know him. If I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. And so he's doing two things there. He's saying, I know him because I come from him. He sent me. I am one with him. You don't know him. You don't keep his sayings. And guess what? You're also lying about the whole thing, because you don't keep his saying. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, this is really going to get their ire up, because he has just made a statement that Abraham saw his day and rejoiced and was glad in it. What was Abraham seeing? Abraham saw the promise that God said of the coming Messiah. Abraham met Jesus face to face and talked with him. As Jesus was, and the two angels were going to Sodom and Gomorrah to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. Why? Because the Messiah was true. The Son of God was who he said he was. He was the hosts of armies. He was the promised Messiah. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? These guys only see with physical eyes. They don't see with spiritual eyes. They don't have spiritual ears. They don't spiritually understand. They don't know that Jesus is talking about spiritually what Abraham saw, spiritually what Abraham knew, and spiritually what Abraham believed. He saw and believed the Messiah as Jesus appeared to him in a pre-incarnate form when he was on his way to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Jesus was there to talk to Abraham about the child of promise that was going to be given to him, Isaac, and what that child would mean, and that through Abraham the whole world would be blessed as he, the Messiah, would come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He showed these things to Abraham. And Abraham not only saw them, he believed them and rejoiced in it. Why? The Messiah was coming, just as the Lord had said. Well, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when he said this, that was it. The power of that statement isn't as powerful in English as it is in Greek or Hebrew. Because what Jesus just said by, before Abraham was, I am, he had just taken to himself the name of God. And he had proclaimed the name of God and placed it on himself. To a Jew, you didn't even speak the name of God. If you go to a Jewish synagogue today, they do not speak the name of God. It's abbreviated because it is so holy. Not only did Jesus speak it, he placed it upon himself and said, that's who I am. I am is a name of God. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the existing one. I am the one who is there, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. That is everything that Jesus just said in that title he'd given himself, and that is why I am the eternal one. He told that to them to their face. You think they would have said, oh, we're standing before God. No, instead what do they want to do? These people are so wicked. It says, then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You would think he has just proclaimed who he is. They're in the presence of God. He's told them all the things that pointed back to the prophets, the ones that they tried to hang their hat on. Well, what about the prophets? What about Abraham? And he says, and so he lays down and comes against all those arguments and shows how that they're lying about everything, and then they're lying about the biggest thing of all, who he really is. And they want nothing to do with him. They want him out of the way because he's standing in the way of them being God. And so they pick up stones to cast at him. It's interesting. It's not the only time that they tried to do it. And it's not the only time that they couldn't. They couldn't cast the stones. If they were so angry, why couldn't they throw the stones? It says that he hid himself from them. I don't know exactly how he did it, but he was there, and then he wasn't there. And then it says that he walked through the midst of them. He literally passed through them, and they could do nothing. These are the same guys that condemned the temple guard. Where is he? And now he's right before him. They're going to throw stones at him, and they can't. Who's in control? I want you to keep this in mind as you look at all the things that are happening in the world today. Who is ultimately in control? God is in control. Jesus is in control. Satan may appear that he's in control. It appeared that he was winning the argument until all of a sudden Jesus says, I'm God. And they couldn't do a thing about it. They could do nothing. And they could only do it when he allowed them to do it. When he allowed them to be turned over to Pilate. When he allowed Pilate to place him on the cross, and when he gave up his spirit willfully so that he could become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, and that he could be placed in the grave according to the Scriptures, and as Paul says, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. all done on His timetable, by His authority, and His power. Everything that's going on in the world today is going to be done on God's timetable, by His authority, and His power, for His purpose. And part of it is that there's this final deal that men are going to have to decide. Are you going to believe the truth, or are you going to believe lies? You say you want to be religious. You say you want to be righteous. You say you want to know all of these things, and you come and condemn all these people that you say aren't doing it, but yet when you're faced with the truth, you reject the truth and you reject Jesus. All these people out there, Bill Gates, all the rest of them, Klaus Schwab, when you talk to them about Jesus Christ and they need to give their life to the Lord, they will condemn you. They will want you silenced and put to death. Why? Because they're of their father, the devil. Jesus says, I am of my Father, and I am before Abraham was. I am. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Help us understand these truths. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, you would turn with me to hymn number 85. Let's see. Wait, I'm sorry, I got the wrong number. Hymn number 490. 490.